Assalamu alaikum everyone, and welcome back to the Sports Show with your boy Hanif. Wadid's away today, and I've got a very special guest in the house today. A lovely young lady from Leeds. She is a personal trainer, an amateur boxer, stroke kickboxer. I give you the one and only Sana Khan. Sana, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Not bad, not bad at all. And as a result, Sana was brought to the studios by her lovely brother. Very nice of him. I've got the lovely, is it Qumar?
Qumar, yeah, that's
yeah.
The one.
Cheers, mate. You're a stud, aren't you, lad? So, Sana, talk to me about this whole boxing, kickboxing, personal trainer business. How did it come about?
So, I've kickboxed since I was 14.
Since you were 14?
Yeah. So, it was actually my dad that got me into it initially. So, I was in high school and just doing the usual sort of GCSEs or whatever else. My dad sort of was thinking ahead in terms of my future and what would, like, set me apart from the crowd and give me a bit of confidence, a bit of self-defence, but also just something to look good on my CV. So when I was applying for jobs, it looked good and it stood out. So I went down to Elemental Kickboxing in Bramley, which is where I train. That's where I personal train now. I started off and I hated it at first. I was like really shy, didn't know anybody. I was stood at the back in the corner, just trying to get a hold of the technique. But I just stuck at it and I thought, I'll just keep going and see where it can take me. And 5 years on, I got my black belt last year, which was a massive achievement for me. From then last year, I also started personal training. So I did like a personal training course part-time. And then I also sort of instruct martial arts there as well. So I teach some of the adults class, some of the kids classes. So yeah, it's going really well.
Awesome. So your dad got you into kickboxing. That is amazing.
Yeah, so like a lot of people think, like, especially Asian parents would be against like the daughters doing combat sports or like going to a gym where there's like the majority of guys or anything like that. But my dad's always been like my biggest supporter in terms of pushing me to do things that like will push you out of your comfort zone, like teach you a new skill. So yeah, it's been really good.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Have you and your brother ever sparred?
Yeah, we spar all the time.
All the time in the back garden.
Knock him out. I was joking.
I let her obviously knock me out.
No, you don't. We give each other a good few rounds. Like, we'll go down to the gym if we're not boxing that evening and we feel like doing a bit, we'll go down to the gym. Or when I was preparing for my fight, he'd help me out, do a bit of pads for me. We'll go down to the gym, do a bit of sparring. It's good.
So it keeps ticking you over, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys growing up, talk to me about growing up in Pudsey or wherever you're from. What was it like growing up? What were your ambitions? Did you actually think, you know what, I'm going to get into this? Or what were your dreams?
I think, like, in our family, I've always been, like, the sporty one. You could probably both agree on that. so, like, I've always kickboxed. And the family have just kind of just like been on that journey with me. So like going for my different belts, like I'd come home like, oh, I got my white belt, I got my orange belt. And they probably didn't really know what that meant. And then my brother, I think you started boxing.
I started boxing when I was in high school, actually. And then I left it and then I've come back to it again now. And then I've gym here and there, but I've not really been much of a sporty person. I'd say Sana is the most sportiest person in the house. She just inspires me still with the boxing, with the sports, to see how far she's come and what she's done.
But I think like because I started boxing like at an amateur level now, like in the past 6 months, I've really started taking it seriously. I've sort of put kickboxing to a halt for now and I've started boxing. Like, we've kind of like grown closer as like brother and sister because we've started training at the same gym now. So previously when my brother did boxing, he did it at a different gym. He did it at Carmen Centre in Bradford, but now we both train out of Lions Gym together, so it's quite nice to actually train together and have sort of a similar interest within the family
And then obviously it saves you running to training instead of...
Yes, I used to run to training and now
I can go in the car with me now.
You mentioned your father, your dad. Was he into sport? Was he into combat sport? At all?
Well, back in day, he always tells us that he used to, he was like really fit and he could do like 100 press-ups and all this stuff. He did a bit of boxing. He's telling us he did a bit of boxing. Because he's just funny the way my dad is. But it's just funny, like, now he'll just go to the gym and he'll just do the typical man thing and, like, train biceps and chest because he wants to be big now. But, like, back in the day, he said he was, like, really physically fit. And my uncle actually did karate. So he got to a black belt in karate as well. So that's something that he did.
My dad does always boast about when he used to go to family weddings and he used to dance. He used to have his top off.
Yeah, because he was, like, really
so yeah, so obviously it was, our dad was a bit of a gym freak back in the day.
So Who inspires you?
Who inspires me? I think from like a boxing point of view, that people I don't really know, like Nicola Adams is a big one for me. I think before Nicola Adams, I didn't realise a female could get so far in combat sports. And obviously she entered the Olympic and she won and she did so amazing. Like she did a lot for female boxing and she's now like turned pro and she's like gone on to do amazing things. So I think to look at her and think she's done it, it gives me hope that like any female can do it and that, well, I can do it as well. So I think Nicola Adams is probably one of my biggest like inspirations.
What about you, Gummer? Who inspires you?
Oh, that is a very tough question. Recently, I've been looking at quite a few YouTube videos. One person that stands out for me is Mike Tyson, the boxer. If you look at Mike Tyson, if you look at where he came from, growing up on the street, a very violent background growing up, and then he came to the gym and he met Cus D'Amato, his trainer, and that was sort of his mentor now for when he started his boxing career. And to see where he came from to where he is now as a person, it's very inspirational, and it just shows that you do need that sort of guidance in your life, whether that's from your mother, your father, you do need that role model figure. Also my mother, actually, because as Sana will agree, she's a very strong woman. Mm-hmm. We've been through a lot as a family, as growing up, even now. And my mother, she's always been strong. She's always been a big role model for us.
Yeah, mum's our biggest supporter, I think.
Yeah, for all of us, she's the biggest inspiration for us all. Your role model comes from your own house, I believe. Both our mother and our father, but I myself have more of a kind of a connection with my mother. Mm. I'd say Sana's more have connection with our dad.
Do you think?
Yeah, I would say. Yeah, I mean, it works both ways. Mm. So I'd say,
boy. Yeah, he is a mummy's boy. He's the only boy.
Oh, he's the only boy. How many siblings are there?
There's four of us. There's us two.
I'm the only brother, and these are Laura's complaining. Oh, he's the only son.
He gets like all so, the priorities.
that's what they
that's
believe.
That's just how it is.
That's what they believe. So
you have to think if it was the other way around.
Yeah, I get it. But yeah, we've got a younger sister, Hannah. She's 15, and then an older sister. Well, she's older than me. My sister Aisha, a year older than me. So Hannah's just actually started kickboxing, so I've got her into that. And then my older sister, she doesn't really do any kind of sport.
Well, that's really cool. It's good to know that people from the Asian community, and especially females, are getting into sport and getting into sports like boxing and so forth. Well, I've totally lost track now. I'm just distracted. So let's talk about boxing in itself. Let's talk about kickboxing. How did you get into kickboxing apart from your father? Why did you keep doing kickboxing? Because you've told me that you've got a black belt in it.
Mm.
What attracts you to the sport?
So I just love the training. So like when I started, I was at school. I used to train on a Tuesday and Thursday night, and I could. That's all I could think about on them days. Like I can't wait to train, and then when I finished training, it'd be like, oh, I can't wait for the next training session. And I think like for me with kickboxing especially, like the belts kept me going. So like I got my white belt and I was like, now I've got something to work towards, and get my yellow belt and just keep going through the belts. And I think like the discipline, the confidence, like I was so shy like when I was 14. I think my brother can agree, like I was really shy. And just through going kickboxing, obviously now I've started instructing, like standing in front of a big class of adults that are males mostly, a lot taller than me, bigger than me, and me teaching them and giving my knowledge to them, like going, like looking back when I was 14, I would never have thought that I'd be doing that like now. So I think there's so many aspects, like the self-discipline, the confidence. Yeah, there's so much to it. And just the training, like just feeling physically fit. Like I remember I couldn't even do a press-up before. Like I was doing press-ups on my knees, like, and then the point where I felt strong enough to actually do proper press-ups, and just the progression that you can see, I loved it.
Are we seeing more girls doing kickboxing now?
Yeah, I would say the gym probably has more females now than we have males. Even with personal training clients at our gym, like we have a lot more females coming in. I think there's still a lot more to do. I can only really speak for my kickboxing gym, but there's a lot more to do in terms of like sparring and getting the women like more confident to spar. But in terms of the actual training and the physical fitness and the fun side to it, a lot of women are getting involved, which is really good to see.
What part of training do you not enjoy? Is there any aspect that you don't enjoy?
No, I love it all. Sometimes, like on sparring days, you're a bit like, oh, I don't really want to spar. But then once you get into it, like, you love it. I don't think there's anything. I wouldn't do it if there was anything that I'd dislike.
As a kickboxer, have you been kicked in the face?
Of course.
What was that like the first time round?
The first time? I think, like, it's always a bit shocking just generally getting hit. Like, even taking punches, it's a bit like, oh, this is not quite normal that we're hitting each other. But once you get used to it, it's quite normal, isn't it? Well, it is for me now.
So, in terms of kickboxing, how many amateur fights... Have you had any amateur fights?
So you don't really call them amateur fighters in kickboxing. You kind of just like compete.
Okay.
So I've competed like nationally. I actually got invited to the like world championships in October this year.
Oh wow.
But because I've taken up boxing, I can't compete with kickboxing. Like as part of an amateur, you kind of have to sign like a contract to say that you won't involve yourself in any other sort of combat sport. So I had to decline that offer. But I did compete for that in Manchester earlier on in the year. So I've won like a few medals from that. So I've got like 2 bronze medals, 3 silvers and 2 golds from competing in kickboxing. But the reason I kind of stopped was because even when I was competing, there was never ever any females in my weight category. So I always had to move up one weight or even 2 weights. And when I was younger, when I was like, I think 17, I was first started competing, or maybe 16, there were no one in the juniors for me to compete with, so I had to move up into the female, like the women, the senior section of competing. So I always kind of felt like I was a bit of a disadvantage because I was the lightest in the category and probably like least experienced if I, as I was a junior and they were senior. So that's why I sort of thought boxing's a bit of a bigger sport, so I might have a more fair advantage and get a better match in terms of weight and moving into boxing and competing with that.
Oh wow! So because you didn't have enough competition. The lure of boxing came along, and so do you feel a difference? Obviously you're not going to be kicking as much, but in terms of the training, what major differences are there?
Oh, it's like everything's different. It's like people say that because
not in terms of the actual training itself.
Everything is different. Like people think that because I've done kickboxing, that doing boxing is just like quite an easy transition, but it wasn't. The training, I feel like for boxing, there's a lot more intense. Even just like the cardio aspect, so like doing sprints instead of just general interval. And when I was kickboxing, I didn't really used to train outside of the kickboxing gym, so I'd go and do my sessions, but I didn't really do anything else outside of that. So just like working and doing my own stuff in between, but not like running or anything like that. So now I've been boxing, like the intensity is so much more. You've got to be doing your general sessions at the gym, but then stuff outside. So even if it's like a bit of weight training, explosive training, going on sprints, running, I think there's just so much more to box. And even the actual training sessions, they're a lot more intense, like I find, than kickboxing was.
How long have you been training as an amateur boxer?
I think it's been like not very long, like 6 months maybe.
Okay.
Maybe like 6 to 8 months. It's not very long at all.
From what I've read, you've only had one amateur fight. Am I correct or am I
wrong?
Yeah,
I've only had one.
Okay. What was that like, you know, selling the fight? Because obviously you have to promote it, sell the tickets. Mm. Did you get a comer to help you try and get people on board in terms of attending the event? What was that like?
I think I generally know quite a lot of people, so selling tickets wasn't too difficult for me. I just sort of posted on my social media, let people know. Like at my kickboxing gym, they're all massive supporters of what I'm doing. At work, at home, family, a lot of family came over. So that, I think in terms of selling tickets, it wasn't too bad. I think like normally with amateur shows, they're quite small. They're in like little community centres or even like at bars or little hotels, and there's not many people watching. But our first show was like a home show, so our gym organised the show at Midlands Hotel in Bradford. So it was a pretty big deal, like for a first amateur show. Like the media was there, so I think there were various different media stations there, and the newspaper were there. There were like, I think it was quite a lot like for an first amateur show to take in. But yeah, I think like I loved like the training up towards it. So I didn't actually know if I was going to be fighting on the show because I was quite new to the gym, so I didn't know if I'd be ready. But the coach said I was, so I sort of took his word for it. So I had like 4 weeks of intense training, but before that I was training anyway. It's kind of like a 4 week camp, you could say, of training towards the amateur fight. And then, yeah, I fought.
What weight do you fight at?
I fought at 52 kg.
Oh, my God, I'm, like, double that. So you're preparing for your first fight. What was it like walking in? And what music did you walk into?
We didn't even have entrance music, which I was really annoyed about because I really wanted, like, an entrance song, and there just wasn't any. There wasn't even any music playing on the night, was it? It was just, like, dead. There were, like, people applauding, that was it. But, like, when I've done previous fights, I did 2 charity fights, so 2 white-collar fights, and I had entrance songs for them, and they were really good.
Cardi B, what was it?
The first one was Cardi B at Bodak Yellow.
Yeah.
And then the second one was Steph London.
I don't know any of them, but I'm sure they're good.
I liked the songs because they're both like really sassy, like independent females, so I thought I'll walk out to them.
First fight, it ended really well. Why don't you
it didn't end well at all. Oh my God.
I thought you knocked her out.
No, this is my other fight.
Was that your other fight? Oh, okay, I beg your pardon.
No,
so what happened in your first
So the, in the white qualifier that I did,
amateur boxer fight, yeah.
The white qualifier that I did, it was like a 60-second technical knockout,
okay.
Against an opponent. I think she came from Harrogate to fight me. But that was just like the white qualifier where you do 8 weeks training. And then my actual amateur fight, I didn't see it through to the end. So the fight got stopped after the second round, because after the second round I had a panic attack.
Okay.
So like I obviously could not continue after that. So that was a bit unfortunate. But I think like looking back at it, it's like a massive learning curve. And I think it's good that it's happened in my first fight, because I can learn from it and work on more like my mental game, my breathing techniques going into future fights. So yeah, it wasn't like the outcome that I was looking for, but it happened and it's fine and I can like move on from it now.
Was it nerves more than anything, or was it the pressure you were putting on yourself, thinking, you know, so many people are watching me and I've got to deliver?
Yeah, like pressure, nerves, adrenaline. There was an issue like with my head guard, it was like too big for my head. They would give me a medium they give me a medium sized head guard.
A medium men's size head guard.
A medium
guard,
men's
probably,
size
yeah.
head guard, yeah, definitely. Is my head a medium sized men's? I don't think it is. The little things like that, like in the first round when you sort of go to your corner and it's meant to be like calming, relaxing, you get a drink, you take your mouth guard out, you get advice from your coach. But that first round was like panic. I was like, my head guard's too big, you need to change it. And my mouth was like really dry, and obviously like it's all new feelings that like, you've never experienced before. So my mouth was really dry, my legs felt shaky, and just from then, like, it was just stress when it didn't need to be. They didn't change my head guard, they just adjusted it. So when I went in for the second round, it started moving around again. Obviously when you only take hits, it started moving around again. So I think like just the whole thing was just a bit of a shambles in terms of like the obviously the head guard being too big, and then the nerves, the adrenaline, the pressure.
I guess that's like amateur boxing, you have to learn as you go along.
Exactly, yeah. And like obviously I'm never going to learn and experience things if I don't just like do it and jump straight in the deep end. So I don't regret anything from the night. Obviously I've learned so much from it, and I think like in terms of the panic attack, it's happened to me before, like in my black belt grading for my kickboxing, it happened to me then. That was the first time it happened, and this was the second time. So now that I'm like, okay, I'm aware that it could happen, I need to like deal like find ways to deal with it before it happens, so that I can control my breathing and not panic. So that's something I'm gonna have to work on myself, because I think a lot of boxing and I think a lot of sports is a mental game, and a lot of people don't realize that. Like we can talk all day about the training, the physical aspect, but I don't really think many people discuss the mental aspects of it and how tough it can be. So yeah, I think that's something that I'm gonna have to learn as I go along.
Well, definitely the mental health is definitely high on the agenda for everyone. And for boxers, I've always had, you know, when boxers retire, some of them unfortunately do go off the rails. Where do you see women's boxing? What's the future like for women's boxing? Do you believe in the UK?
I think it's growing, and I think it's going to keep growing, and it's got the potential to go, I think, hopefully one day as far as men's boxing. I think we just need more females to put themselves out there, be role models to the youngsters growing up, and especially like Asian females, just breaking the stereotypes that women can be in the gym and women can train just as hard as men and achieve just as much as men.
So the outlook for the year, for the remaining year, how many amateur fights would you like to get in, ideally?
A few, like maybe, how long are we now, June, July, maybe like 5 or 6, I don't know, up to 10. Like, it just depends, like when my coach says that you've got a fight. I was actually meant to have one during Ramadan, but obviously I couldn't fight when I was fasting, so I declined that one. But I'm hoping, like, as soon as Ramadan's finished, straight back at the gym. I've been training a little bit, not as much as obviously I had before. Straight back at the gym and just training and get a few fights in. Hopefully I want to get a few more female spars in as well, because I'm the only girl at the gym, so I'm sparring with the guys, which is good and it's fine. I'll spar with the kids that are similar weights to me and I'll learn a lot from them, but I think I'll learn a lot more sparring women. And I have had a few, like, I've gone to a few other gyms around Leeds and Bradford, and they've come to us to spar, but I think I'd like to do a little bit more of that to get more experience fighting females at my weight, and then hopefully get a few amateur fights in for the end of the year. Definitely want a good few, just to keep the momentum going, because I've had one now, I just want to keep on it.
Fantastic. What are your thoughts on Muslim fighters or athletes training in Ramadan? Is it beneficial, really? Does it really help them? Because they've only got a short window.
I think it is beneficial. I think even if you're not going to go on like long runs and do 5 mile sprints and everything like that when you're fasting, but I think to really focus on your technique and your skill and your footwork and all the smaller things that maybe you don't focus on as much when you are able to eat and drink, and you can sort of move around a lot more. Like, it's even like with pad work, sometimes when you're doing pads, you go in heavy, or you're on the bags and you go in heavy, your skill can go out of the window a little bit, which is fine because you can sort of counteract it, strengthen the power. But I think in Ramadan, it's probably good to just take it back, focus on your skill, your technique, your head movement, and all them sort of technical aspects of boxing, I guess. I definitely think it's beneficial to still train, and just to generally keep yourself physically active. Like, if you're working all day, maybe some people might have like an office job and you sat down all day, and normally you're used to training in the gym on a night, but now you're just sort of sitting around waiting for your fast to open. You're not staying active and staying mobile. Even if it's like a bit of stretching, or like even yoga or something, just to keep yourself moving, good for the mind as well, I think.
Awesome. How has amateur boxing like helped changed your life? Has it provided you with any new opportunities compared to kickboxing?
I've not really met anyone popular, I don't think. I think for me, because I'm quite new to it, like I've not really put myself out there much, I don't think, in terms of boxing. I kind of just keep myself to myself when I'm training. I'll just go training, I'll keep myself to myself, I'll do what I need to do because I know what I need to work on, and that's sort of it. But yeah, I don't think I've had really any other sort of opportunities.
And what's it like sparring the hijabi boxer Saf Saheed?
We've never actually sparred.
Have you never sparred?
So
I'd love to watch that.
We need to spar, like
full throttle as well.
I always say to her, we need to spar.
Are you saying?
No, she's a little bit lighter than me, 48 kg.
Oh, so it's not far really.
No, we're quite close. I'm a little bit heavier than her. But yeah, I'd love to spar Saf. We train together, like we've been to the gym together, and we did like they said the white collar boxing fight together. And we padded for each other and everything, but we never actually sparred.
I'd love to watch that.
I know. Well, when we were actually fighting, so we did like an 8-week training camp, and there weren't many females. There were a few of us, maybe like six of us, and we were like, you get partnered with the people you're training with, and we were the only two girls of the same weight, so we were like, we're definitely going to get partnered together. And obviously we became really good friends throughout the 8 weeks, and we were like, we're definitely going to get partnered together to fight on the night. And we were like, do you know what, it's fine if we do, because it's for the sport, we both love it, and we'll give each other a good go. But then we didn't actually end up getting put together, so we both got put with different people. So yeah, we never really did. But then we both ended up, Saf got a technical knockout after her first round, so it was 2 minutes, and mine was after 60 seconds, like the woman just didn't carry on. So we were both kind of like, on the same night, we were like, oh, we should just go in together, because we both didn't really get a good fight from it. But yeah, hopefully one day we can sort something out. Saf, if you're listening.
I think that'd be a good fight. Come on, what do you think?
Definitely.
Yeah,
not a spar, an amateur fight.
An actual amateur fight?
Yeah. You know, I think two Asian girls, you're not far till you could catch weight, possibly at 50,
yeah,
50
kg. Yeah,
I think you should... I think you should organise that. I'd love to see that.
We'll see what happens.
I think that's a good... because, obviously, you both had one fight each, and you're at a similar level. Obviously, your background's a bit different because you have been more active in a different sport, but
yeah.
I'd love to watch that.
Yeah?
We need to get sparring first.
Yeah, if we do need to, we'll get a few sparring sessions in.
Right then. So, I'll give you a bit of a break, and... I'll go to Kummer, and well, let's talk about a bit of MMA, Khabib versus Conor, Kummer. So what were your thoughts, the whole build-up on the fight and the ending?
Well, it speaks with itself, really. Obviously, Khabib, very humble guy. Conor is the total opposite, very loud, arrogant, I would say. And then obviously, he got what he deserved, really, didn't he, when it came to the fight. Khabib deserved it. I mean, the win, definitely. But I'm not a really huge MMA fan, so I can't really say much. But what about yourself? I mean, I know you're a big MMA fan.
I'm massive. Did it entice you? Did you watch the fight?
I didn't watch the fight.
Did you not watch
I watched
the, fight?
The highlights and stuff, but I didn't actually watch the fight.
Did you watch the fight?
Yeah. Just like on Instagram and stuff.
And we just watch the highlights. We don't really keep on top of UFC and MMA.
Do you not?
No.
You being a kickboxer.
I know. I should.
More boxing, isn't it?
There are a lot of good kickboxers out there, especially in one championship.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm so blind to like what everyone else is doing because I'm so focused on what I'm doing. And people ask me all these questions about like boxing and. Have you watched this fight and that fight? And I'm like, no, because I was at the gym myself, doing my own thing, which I probably should keep on top of it, but, like, I just don't.
You just switch off, you just concentrate.
Yeah. Like, obviously, I'll watch, like, highlights and stuff, but I won't stay awake till 5 a.m. in the morning if there's a fight on, or...
You know, it's recorded, don't you? You're watching on YouTube.
Yeah, like, I'll do that. I'll watch, like, bits after, but I'm not, like, crazy about it.
You're a very busy person, aren't you, obviously?
Yeah, like, I've got, like, I work full-time, then I work part-time, then I'm training. It's a lot. Like, I kind of, I'm just so focused. And then in my downtime, I just like to sit at home and spend time with my family, when I can, so.
So let's get into it. Cover wanted to talk about boxing. Let's talk about boxing. Let's talk about heavyweight boxing. You've got three guys, Cover. Three guys at the top. You've got Joshua, Fury and Wilder. Who is the best from them three?
Right, let's look at them all first. So obviously we've got Wilder, very big hitter, knockout puncher. But he's very unorthodox. So I would personally say his boxing skill, out of the three, it's down there, it's poor really, out of the three obviously. You've got AJ, he's got the power to knock out, he's got the power to slowly eat away at an opponent, but he's also got a very good boxing skill. Then obviously you've got Fiore. Fiore's not got much power to him, he's all about his boxing skill now. Personally, at the minute, I would say AJ, because of his all-round skill, he's got the ability to sort of slow it down a bit, take it over a few rounds, and then go for the knockout. But yeah, personally, I would think AJ.
But Wilder's got that one punch.
Wilder has got that one punch, but AJ could take it well.
You think AJ could take that?
He could take it well. I mean, his defence is not too bad. But who I'm worried for is Usyk coming into the heavyweight division. I'm very worried for him because... But it's very interesting to see how that would play out, to be honest.
Do you think we'll see Wilder and Joshua?
Wilder and Joshua, not anytime soon. I think AJ's got at least two more fights to go, then he can fight Wilder.
Yeah, I was reading something earlier today, and it were saying that they're very close to signing something with Wilder for 2020.
It's going back and forth. It's like Wilder's team saying, oh, we want the fight. AJ's saying, oh, no, he's scared, we want the fight. But it's all, I don't know.
I think they're kind of building it up, so when it does happen, it'll be, like, worth so much more. Because I think boxing now, it's not just about the boxing, it's about, like, the promotion and the trash talking. And, like, you see with UFC, like we were saying about Conor McGregor, like Conor McGregor might be the nicest, humblest guy in the world, but he knows that to make money and to get exposure, and he has done a lot for it. Like for UFC, no one really knew what UFC was until Conor McGregor made it such a big thing, and that's only because of how arrogant he put himself out to be. But now look at him, he's a businessman, he's got his own whiskey company, like he's made himself from that. And if he was like a humble guy, you don't really hear about them. So unfortunately, you just don't really hear about them. People like to hear negative, they like a bit of conflict, and that's what people are attracted to. So people know that to get themselves out there, they're going to have to cause some sort of conflict to get that exposure.
You do need someone who's going to have a loud mouth, who's going to give it all the verbal, because you can't have two humble guys to sell a fight, because
exactly.
It won't sell the fight.
Exactly.
What were your thoughts on Fury and Wilder? Sana, I'll let you go first. Did you watch the fight?
I saw that one. That was a good fight.
Did you agree with the decision?
I don't know. Probably not. No, maybe not. But I only think the decision got made so that they can have another fight and make more money from it. Honestly, but I think like Fury, like look how old he is as well, and look how like he got in the ring, and he brought himself back after all the problems that he was having. He lost all that weight. Like he's done a lot for himself, I think, and it's like it takes a lot for someone to do that. But yeah, I don't know. What do you think about that?
I mean, the first thing I rate him for is when he got up from that punch from Wilder.
That was mad.
I don't know how he got up from that, but gave him a really good fight. I mean, you could just see his boxing skills from that fight, but I think he got robbed.
It's a difficult one, isn't it?
It is a really difficult one, but I reckon that the decision should have gone to Fiore, obviously. But again, like you said, it could have just been for a rematch.
Mm.
They might have just wanted it's all about the money, isn't it, really?
Mm.
Promotion.
Yeah, because like the rematch will be good. Has the rematch like been organised?
No. So what's happening is Joshua is with Eddie Hearn. Well, his contract's with Sky and The Zone in America. Fury has recently signed a new deal with the ESPN. It's about a 70-80 million pound deal.
Mm.
No one saw it coming, but it was for five fights, and he's probably not going to make that money anywhere else, and he's probably not going to fight high caliber elite fighters.
Mm. Mm.
And then you've got Wilder, who's independent, but he usually fights on Showtime. He recently fought Brazil, knocked him out in the first round, and looked amazing doing it. Brazil didn't really help himself. His defence is awful. It's a bit like Manchester United's defence. My thoughts are that you've got three guys, and I put Dillian White in the mix. I think Dillian White is taking on a far tougher opponent in Rivas. No one's heard of him, but if you watch him, the guy's a monster. The boxing public are being robbed, and I don't personally think it's right, but I understand what they're doing. They're doing what Mayweather did with Pacquiao.
Mm.
He he just let it build and let it build for 4 or 5 years, and it became a $300 million fight for him. He made that much money, and I think they're doing the same thing with Joshua and Wilder. The only problem is age isn't exactly on Wilder's side.
How old is he?
Wilder's in his, he's about 33, 34 years old now. So he's one of the lightest heavyweights out there at the moment, but he's got so much power. He's all muscle at the moment. If you look at him, he's in phenomenal shape. He fought Brazil on normal terrestrial TV in America. He made $10 million from it. Joshua's going to make 30 by fighting Andy Ruiz. Have you seen Andy Ruiz?
No.
The lad he's fighting. It's not even, it doesn't even look like a fair fight.
It doesn't even compare.
No, he's like a Dillian White, you could say. Small, overweight. It's not going to be, it's going to be one-sided, in my opinion, unless Andy Ruiz Jr. shocks the world, which he might, but I doubt it. And now Joshua has to send a message, because Wilder just knocked Brazil out in one round, and I think Joshua did it in 4 or 6. I agree with Kumar. I think we will see the fight, but not until 2020. I wish it was happening at the end of this year. They've been calling each other out. They've been, you know, hyping this fight up for so long. But then I think it probably won't happen, purely because the amount of politics in the game. If you were to become a pro fighter, how do you think you would deal with the politics of boxing?
I don't know. I think I'd just be like myself and just be straight up and honest. Like,
would you take the best on? Are you going to take Saf on? That's what I want to know.
You want this fight to happen, don't you? We're only amateurs,
not?
And
why
you're
not?
Already creating politics. I
want to see the fight. My colleague wants to see the fight. I want to see the fight. I bet you a lot of people would watch that. It's an amateur fight.
Of course they would.
It's an amateur fight.
Yeah.
We'll come down for that. Saf, if you're listening, she wants a fight. Make it happen.
Me and Saf are literally like best friends.
So best friends can fight.
No, but we both love the sport, so we do it for the sport, like nothing personal.
Yeah, but you want to knock her out, don't you?
I mean, if we were having a fight, then of course you're going to want to win.
So you're going to knock her out then?
Go on, if you're in a fight, what are you trying to do?
You're going
to
knock her out.
No comment.
You heard that, Saf.
I said no comment.
Right then, so that's all we've got time for at the moment. We'll be right back after these lovely ads and the news.